Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome, and the readings are from Cycle A.
How do we explain Jesus' anger in today's gospel? After all, we could say that the merchants were simply helping people. The crowd had come from far away for the Passover feast. They had different forms of coinage, but no oxen or sheep or doves to sacrifice. Similar to those currency exchange kiosks we see in our modern-day airports, money changers seem to be needed. Jesus' anger doesn't seem justified. And his actions appear especially strange in light of John's gospel, where Jesus is portrayed as a reconciler, God in human form, the one whose love overflows. And now he's turning tables over? Why? As I thought about the why of this gospel story, I reflected back on an experience I had in high school. I attended a boys' Catholic high school in New York City run by the Marist brothers. One of our favorite teachers was Brother Jerry. He taught English and religion. Brother Jerry was a smart, kind, and wise man. He was 6'5" tall, so we nicknamed him Lurch, after the Frankenstein-like butler who was in a popular TV show at the time. Well, during my sophomore year, my classmates and I attended an overnight retreat. And on Saturday night, Brother Jerry led us through an especially quiet, reflective exercise in the chapel. Instead of acting quiet and reflective, though, a few of my friends and I acted, well, sophomoric. Before long, our noise and laughter had disrupted the entire session. And at one point, one of my friends said, "Lurch is pissed," which made all of us laugh the harder. Indeed, Brother Jerry was angry, as evidenced by the pulsing vein in his forehead. Later that evening, the six of us troublemakers were required to meet with him. Brother Jerry expressed his disappointment to us. "Gentlemen, you have crumpled up the invitation to grow as leaders." Then he said something else that stayed with me over the years. He paraphrased the great poet T.S. Eliot, "You have had the experience, but you missed the meaning." These words of T.S. Eliot, "We had the experience, but missed the meaning," may hold the key to understanding Jesus' actions in the gospel story. I have a sense that Jesus was angry with the merchants and the money changers, and by implication their customers, because they were simply fulfilling obligations, going through the motions, mailing it in, but not experiencing communion with God. Jesus tells those gathered that the old order of worship is to be replaced by a new one, an order focused no longer on the temple, but on the body of Christ. In the cleansing of the temple, Jesus is replacing a former religious practice with a new way of doing things. And he's also revealing something very important about God. To put it metaphorically, Jesus is replacing a former religious coinage with a new currency. He's telling us that the currency exchange practices and animal sacrifices that were customary at the time serve merely as gatekeepers to access to God. In effect, Jesus is telling the people at that time, and us as well, that we need to worship God in our own currency. Now, this insight doesn't deny the legitimacy or the necessity of the church or those who minister in its name. God works through the church and its ministry, but no one controls access to God. St. Paul understood the meaning of all this, and he never tires of reminding us that the temple gets relocated yet again from Jesus' body to our bodies. With the words we just heard from the letter to his friends and disciples in Corinth, I can almost hear Paul shouting the last line, God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. The love of God has been poured into our hearts, into the deepest parts of our being. This ever new Christian way of life as temples of God isn't a fancy theory, nor is it an endurance test. No, it's an adventure, a process of being more and more open to God's invitation to us. Something Pope Francis said a few days ago is remarkably relevant to this invitation. He said, God is not afraid of new things. That is why he is continually surprising us, opening our hearts and guiding us in unexpected ways. He renews us. He constantly makes us new. A Christian who lives the gospel is God's newness in the church and in the world. And how much God loves this newness. So what do these words from Scripture, as well as the Holy Father's remarks, imply about our response? What actions in God's name do they move us to take? Three brief thoughts about discernment, respectful dialogue in the church, and our concern for the poor. First, discernment. As temples of God's Holy Spirit, how might each of us come to better understand our own unique vocation? I invite you to ponder and pray over the following questions. What is it that gives me deep joy? What am I good at? What are some ways I need to move from self-absorption to a desire to work for the common good? Second, dialogue within the church. In the aftermath of the Synod on the Family, there's been a good deal of commentary about its language, nuance, and the larger meaning of that gathering. Some of the debate about divorced and remarried Catholics, issues of respect and inclusion of gay people in the church, or even the direction of Pope Francis's papacy, have been downright nasty, from the right and from the left. Respectful, vigorous debate is healthy for the church. Catholic circular firing squads are not. It seems there should be vast common ground regarding concerns about the fragile state of the institution of the family in the world. And we'd also do well to keep in mind the implications of the Pope's words. God is not afraid of new things. How might the Spirit be directing the Synod and each of us to exchange some former religious coinage for a new currency? Third, concern for the poor. As vessels of the Holy Spirit, we're called to be ever conscious of the many forms of poverty, violence, and exploitation in the world. Throughout Scripture, we're obliged not only to pray for the victims of violence, but to find ways to bring about solutions to their plight. This very weekend, I'm mindful of the 43 college students who were kidnapped in early October in Iguala, Mexico, amidst the drug wars there, and who are now feared dead. This afternoon, as we gather at the table of the Lord, let's continue to ask God for the grace to be made anew in Christ and renewed in our efforts to understand the meaning of the law of God, enfleshed in each of us and in our entire Catholic community.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.